This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. Dear viewers, we are continuing in our series, The Best in Islam, wherein we are looking at what Allah and His Messenger have identified among the various elements of human life, what is in fact the best. In our previous episode, we were looking at the best with regards to love of the Messenger of Allah. And in this episode, we'll be looking at the sweetness of faith and where the best lies with regards to it. We have a narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, related also by Anas, in which the Prophet ﷺ had said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. Whoever possesses the following three qualities has found the sweetness of faith: that Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to him than anything else, that he loves another man only for Allah's sake, and that he hates to return to disbelief as he would hate to be thrown in the fire. So, this hadith combines what we spoke of before about love of the Messenger of Allah. Because to love him is to love Allah. To love Allah is to love him. So the sweetness of faith, which gives a person a sense of certainty and surety, wherein he would not have, or she would not have, the least doubt. They're sure of their deen. They're sure of the rightness of Islam. This sweetness that one gets from that sense of surety is only achieved if one loves Allah and His Messenger more than anything else. And we said that is expressed by obeying the divine commandments, living a life in accordance with God's commands, to do what is pleasing to Allah and to avoid what is displeasing to Him. All of that brings us to the sweetness of faith. Secondly, as human beings, we have a natural love for our fellow human beings. That love is usually based on things that they have done for us. We love our parents because they've taken care of us. They've given us things, presents, etc. They were there when we needed them, etc. We have this love, which is based on benefits that we have gotten. That is a natural love that all human beings express. However, the love which will give us the sweetness of faith is a love beyond that. It is the love where we love another human being for the sake of Allah, because of what is between you and that other human being, of Islam, of serving Islam, of worshipping Allah. Because of that commitment, to living Islam, to being real Muslims. So it is fundamentally a part of faith that we love those who love Allah and we hate those who hate Allah. That is the only acceptable way in terms of loving for the sake of Allah. Now, that love of the individual who loves Allah would manifest in sharing good deeds which Allah has commanded, working together to spread the religion, encouraging each other to do what is right and pleasing to Allah. It can manifest in many, many different ways. But if we love them and we feel that sense of love, the Prophet ﷺ said we should tell them. So we should tell our fellow brothers and sisters who we love for the sake of Allah, that we love them for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ had told that the response should be, may Allah love you for loving me for his sake. That's the response when somebody says to you, I love you for the sake of Allah. And this feeling is something which all the believers should share. And with that feeling, it encourages work together. And that kind of a love, where we love somebody simply for the sake of Allah, is one in which we're not expecting anything. We're not seeking anything. It is merely an expression of our own love for Allah and His Messenger. The third principle mentioned in this hadith is that we should hate going back to disbelief more than how much we would hate being thrown into a fire, as fearful as we would be, because the known pain that is going to come with it, we should even be more fearful of going back to kufr, leaving Islam and ending up in disbelief, either deliberately or as a consequence of our deeds and our practice and our disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. So, halawatul iman, and scholars have spoken about this, where a person tastes it, they are prepared to sacrifice. They will not be deterred from obeying Allah. They are firm in the religion. That is something we all should seek. We should all aspire to and for the sweetness of faith. That gives us contentment, gives us peace within ourselves, certainty that we are on the right path, that we are on the path to paradise. The Prophet ﷺ also told us, in terms of the best with regards to mosques and his mosque, he said, as narrated by Abu Huraira, Salatun fi masjidi hadha afdalu min alfi salatin fi ma siwa illa al-masjid al-haram. A single prayer in my mosque is better than 1,000 prayers anywhere else except for the mosque of Mecca. So that is an encouragement for us to visit the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to gain the great reward of prayer in his mosque. If we go for Hajj, we should try to visit the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Though if we made Hajj and didn't do so, there is no problem. Some people have promoted a fabricated narration, which the Prophet ﷺ was supposed to have said, that whoever goes to Mecca and doesn't come and visit the mosque has treated me badly. No, this is not authentic. Hajj is complete without visiting the mosque of the Prophet in Medina. However, it is highly recommended to get the rewards of prayer there. But prayer in the mosque of Mecca, prayer at the Kaaba, is worth 100,000 prayers elsewhere. 100,000 times the prayers elsewhere. So the reward is even more great, 100 times greater. But if we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that love would cause us to want to go there, to pray in the mosque which he built, the first official mosque, or actually the second, first was in Quba, but the major mosque, his mosque, built in Medina. We should want to go there, to experience prayer there, to remember his contribution to our faith, and to ask Allah's peace and blessings for him, to pray for him. And he also told us that if we are to go out on a journey, we should only take journeys, which are religious journeys, to three mosques. The Mosque of Mecca, his mosque, and the Mosque of Jerusalem. With that, dear viewers, we're going to take a break and continue to look at the best in Islam after the break. La ilaha illallah Muhammadu Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back from the break. After looking at the greatness of the mosque of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, the great reward that is there, we are encouraged, as we said, to go and pray there. Also to remember the contribution of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a valid expression of our love for him and a love for the deen. We are now going to move on to another element of greatness, the best in terms of the Quran. What is the best part of the Quran? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, which was related to us by Anas ibn Malik, he stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, أفضل القرآن الحمد لله رب العالمين. The best part of the Quran is the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And this reinforces a previous principle of greatness that we spoke about, the heart which was grateful. One of the best possessions that any human being can have, a heart which is grateful. And that relates back now to the greatest verse of the Quran, the greatest part of the Quran, the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So this is addressing what? Addressing the issue of gratitude here again. If we're able to bring gratitude into our lives, so much peace, so much contentment, so much rest is there in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives us the drive and the protection to be able to deal with the trials of life. We know we are faced with trials every day. From the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, we are confronted with trials. How do we deal with them? We ultimately are able to deal with them through gratitude, knowing that whatever trial comes to us, it's from Allah. And at the same time that we're faced with this trial, we don't know how it is beneficial to us, but for sure, if Allah has caused this to happen to us, there is benefit in it. And it is enough for us to thank Allah for all of the other events of our lives, which have been great blessings. It is enough in order for us to accept whatever else Allah has written for us in our lives, which may be among the things we don't like. But as Allah said in the Quran, you may dislike something and it's good for you. And you may like something and it's not good for you. And Allah knows, and we don't know. So, gratitude provides the foundation for handling trials and tribulation. And that is why it is so highly regarded as a portion of the Quran. It is placed as the very first verse that we read in the Quran, recite from the Quran in our daily prayers. It was the practice of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make sujood ashukr, prostrations for gratitude, regularly, whenever good came. And he reminded us so many times to be grateful. And of course, Allah, most great and glorious, has told us in the Quran, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are thankful, I will increase the blessings for which you are being thankful. That's his promise, that your thankfulness will cause more blessings to come. And on the other hand, if we're ungrateful, his punishment is severe. That is what Allah says. وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. He calls ingratitude kufr. And if you disbelieve, my punishment is severe. But he was talking about gratitude. So really, ingratitude he has labeled, Allah has called disbelief. It's like disbelief. It's referred to as kufranun ni'mah. Disbelief in bounties which Allah has granted to us. We've rejected them. We don't recognize them. We forget them. We deny them when we are in times of difficulty. Trials, stress, depression. We make statements like that. There's no good in my life. All my life has been bad. That frame of mind is the frame of mind which leads ultimately to disbelief. So Allah tells us, be thankful, and Allah will increase the good in our lives. And that thankfulness is not only for Allah alone, because some people have the habit of saying, you know, when you do something for them, or people do something for them, instead of thanking you, they say, Ashukr lillah. Thanks belongs to Allah. Meaning, I don't need to thank you because it's Allah who had you do it. Allah is the one behind all the good that comes to me. So no need to thank you. But this is not the way. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, told us, Man lam yashkur innas lam yashkur illah. Whoever does not thank people does not truly thank Allah. You have to thank people. Not because Allah really needs it, Allah doesn't need our thanks given to people. But people need it. Because it's human nature that if you do good for people and they don't thank you, you feel they are ungrateful. So when the time comes when they have a need to do something again, you'll not do it. Because this person is ungrateful. They don't recognize you for having done any good for them. So why make the effort? Why strive? Why struggle to try to help them and do good for them when they're ungrateful? So this is an attitude that people develop when you don't thank them. So the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, made it a condition for us that we must thank people. If we're going to thank Allah, we must thank people. Because Allah's blessings come through those people. And if we want it to continue, we need to thank those people. So he has made it an obligation on us to thank people for the good that they do. It serves as encouragement for them to do more good. Because if you're thankful, situation arises again, then they will happily help you because you were thankful. So having this thankful attitude or character is very, very important in life in general. It is the foundation of our faith. It's also the foundation of good relations with our fellow human beings, where we're grateful for whatever good they do for us. That increases their willingness to do more, and it encourages them to help others. And it is our responsibility to show them gratitude, because Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, we are not truly grateful to Allah if we don't thank the people who Allah has chosen to bring good for us in our lives. So with that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us in this segment of our program, The Best in Islam. And we have been looking at the principles of gratitude, it being the foundation of our faith, it being the best of the Quran. Thankfulness, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a part of making Allah most dear to us in our lives. If we're not grateful, then how can Allah be the most dear to us? And as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, we will not taste the sweetness of faith until Allah and His Messenger are most dear to us. We love them more than anything else. So gratitude is a characteristic that we all need. It is the savior from depression. So I ask Allah to bless us all with gratitude and to make our lives better and to keep us on the correct path. And with that, I bid you farewell from our program, The Best in Islam. And I hope that you will be with us in our coming episodes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.